Verbum Domini, the post-synodal apostolic exhortation of Pope Benedict XVI, has had wide acclaim in many ways as a very, very important and fundamental document. I'd like to do a little presentation on bits of it that I think are outstandingly important and of huge relevance, not just to clergy or religious, but to every Christian, not just within the Catholic Church, because he is saying some really remarkable things about the Word of God. So let me start. He starts by talking about the size and scope of the Word.
The Church speaks in many tongues, and not only outwardly, in the sense that all the great languages of the world are represented in her, but more profoundly, inasmuch as present within her are various ways of experiencing God and the world, a wealth of cultures, and only in this way do we come to see the vastness of the human experience, and as a result, the vastness of the Word of God.
In other words, what he's doing is presenting the Word of God not as words alongside any other word, not as words which are cheap to say, quickly forgotten, but this is a word that encapsulates both in the small size of it and the grandeur of its conception, of its message, something that belongs to a different order. And he goes on to say,
with this apostolic exhortation, I would like the work of the Synod to have a real effect on the life of the Church, on our personal relationship with the sacred scriptures, on their interpretation in the liturgy and catechesis, and in scientific research, so that the Bible may not be simply a word from the past, but a living and timely word.
And I want to suggest that this is not a word primarily for the university, primarily for liturgy, primarily even as a proof text. This is a word which is God and me united in it. It is the word of creation, which is me and every individual, and the word that is God uttered to me. In that sense, it takes on a grandeur of affirmation and a grandeur which requires reverence, which is quite unique. And it has never been expressed quite that way before. It cannot be simply put aside. It's too important. The moment of creation is the moment of word. And the word which expresses it is the sacred scriptures. And it is that sacred scripture which is not just for study, not at least, it is for me, my salvation, and for everyone who's prepared to spend time listening and responding. And in this context, he then goes on to make a very interesting comment about the relationship between the two parts of the Christian word, what is known as the Hebrew Scriptures or the Old Testament on the one hand, and the story of Jesus or the New Testament on the other.
The New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old is made manifest in the New. What the Old Testament promised, the New Testament made visible.
In other words, already we see there are two sides to this word, which is for me. It is the history to which I belong, from which I come. It is the present moment where this history interrelates with me, offering a future. And that future doesn't have an end that is doubtful. It is an end which is a promise of fulfillment through the expansion and magnification of that word within me. So I can't turn around and simply say, oh, I'm just a New Testament man. Or someone could say, oh, I only read the books of Ruth and Esther because they're about women. Or I only read the book of Genesis because there's some good stories in it. Or I only read St. Paul's letters. Whichever it is, there can be no preference. Because the word is a one. And in each syllable of it, we can, if we patiently spend time at it, find a message. And it is that giving of time to be able to appreciate how these two lungs, if you like, of the Word of God interrelate. And giving time is the most important element. Perhaps the most important part of this word in terms of the regularity of use are the Psalms. Pope Benedict says, or writes,
in the Psalms, we find expressed every possible human feeling set masterfully in the sight of God. Joy and pain, distress and hope, fear and trepidation. Here all find expression. Along with the Psalms, we think too of the many other passages of sacred scripture which express our turning to God in intercessory prayer, in exultant songs of victory, or in sorrow at the difficulties experienced in carrying out our mission. In this way, our word to God becomes God's word, thus confirming the dialogical nature of all Christian revelation, and our whole existence becomes a dialogue with the God who speaks and listens, who calls us and gives direction to our lives. Here the Word of God reveals that our entire life is under the divine call.
Yes, the big sighs. Yes, the Old Testament and the New. But in the prayer of the Scriptures, the Psalms, we have there an intimacy, a personal relationship, where one speaks, the other listens. God speaks to me, I listen. I speak to God, God listens. That is the intimacy which emerges out of this dialogue. And insofar as we are prepared to give time to it, so too the transforming power of God invades our life, magnifies our vision, and expands our heart to appreciate the presence who is God all around us, even in the most difficult of circumstances. The Psalms truly are the language we use of God, but also, in a mystical way, they're the language that God uses to us. There is, of course, another side, and many people will claim and say, well, there's a lot of violence in the scriptures, and there's a lot of injustice, and there's a lot of things that we wouldn't think of doing today. And they're quite right. And again, the Pope faces this issue. The question is, what is it about the violence and immorality that is contained in these scriptures? What about those texts which are obscure and difficult? And the Pope goes on.
Here it must be remembered first and foremost that biblical revelation is deeply rooted in history. God's plan is manifested progressively, and it's accomplished slowly in successive stages, and despite human resistance. God chose a people and patiently worked to guide and educate them.
That is it. God didn't produce an ideal situation where everything was right. The history of the human persons, the human society, is one of deep-seated problems of jealousy and rivalry, of exploitation and the misuse of power. And it was then, and it is today. And we cannot deny that. However much we plead for justice and we plead for peace, as millions of people are doing just with their unheard cry, let alone the organizations and the committees, etc., promoting it, the problem doesn't go away. And therefore, to see it in our scriptures is one way of saying you're looking at yourself in the mirror. Because each of us has these moments of anger, of uncharity, of violence, a sense of powerlessness on the one hand and powerfulness on the other. The relationship between men and women, the relationship between companies trying to compete for business, the relationship between governments, all suggest and show that the weakness inherent in humanity presents violence and anger, exploitation, injustice, and the innocent, the weak, and the poor are the ones who suffer. And so it has been. And so it is represented in the scriptures. And therefore, to say, oh, well, these must be holy words, they don't have any relevance, they shouldn't be referring to us, is to deny the reality that the word actually is incarnated in history, in the story. It was then, it is now. And the book of Revelation, this Bible, the word of God, is a way of saying to us, just look at yourself. You haven't changed much. And by putting it in that context, it doesn't mean to say that God is siding with this weakness. What it means is that God is trying to present through the complexities and injustices and the violences of human life, he's trying to present an alternative. And human beings, many human beings, try earnestly, hard to respond, and yet cannot get over their violent tendencies. So, as we look at the Bible, we shouldn't be shocked. What we should be is aware of, that there are things that are recorded in the Bible which we would never do, quite right. That's not the problem. The problem is, there is no element of the violence in the Bible which we can clearly wash our hands and say, not us. And if it's not us, we also then have to say, are we sure it's not everyone? So we come back to the fact that at the heart of the violent scenes in the Bible, we have to face the violence, the injustice, the misuse of power, misuse of love, etc., within ourselves. And that is, again, part of the work of Revelation, to present that mirror. And then finally, we have the word entering space and time. And the Pope here makes a very interesting and very important statement.
The sacramental character of Revelation points in turn to the history of salvation, to the way that the Word of God enters time and space and speaks to men and women who are called to accept His gift in faith. The sacramentality of the Word can thus be understood by analogy with the real presence of Christ under the appearances of the consecrated bread and wine.
That is a most remarkable statement. It was echoed by some of the earliest fathers of the Church. But those of us who've lived through the Protestant Revolution, who have spent so much time celebrating the Word, while we have spent so much time celebrating the sacrament, would find that to put the two on equal pillars, an analogy of the real presence of Christ, as much in the Word as in the Eucharist. And that is a huge sign of hope for all those millions of people who can't get to Mass, or for one reason don't want to go to Mass. They can pick up the Word of God, the Scriptures, so easily available, and be in touch with the real presence of Christ. And the real presence of Christ in that word is the logical conclusion of the intimacy that I was talking about earlier. Because the word is a transforming word, taking us away from our violence, taking us away from our weaknesses, and putting us into a position where we are being transformed by a word which can only transform us in one direction, which is into the word who is God. And that is a process which goes on as radically and as simply as any other process through the sacramental system which we have in the Catholic Church of baptism, confirmation, etc. And that is why they all have the word attached to them. But it is the word that gives the meaning. The word is loved for its own sake, not as a proof text. The word that is able to enact and change. But it is also a recognition that with the word alone, we are in the presence of Christ. And that is why, as a final point, we need to learn to respect the Holy Scriptures. Not just to have the text, but to read it, to ponder it, to be with it. And to see that in that text there is a mirror of myself, there's a challenge for myself, and there is a promise of fulfillment in that word. And the more I ponder it, the more it becomes part of me, not read like a novel, not sung like just a simple piece of poetry, but as something that is another skin of my being. That is the intimacy of the word. Amen.